From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the state legislature chooses Acting Attorney General Barbara Underwood to fill out former Attorney General Schneiderman's term. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on the GOP and Democratic conventions held this week, and New York and Vermont partner in a border-to-border law enforcement campaign. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The New York State Legislature this week chose Barbara Underwood, the acting attorney general, to replace the former Attorney General Eric Schneiderman for the remainder of the term, which ends December 31st. Underwood will be the first woman to hold that office. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
The chair declares that Barbara D. Underwood has been duly appointed Attorney General of the State of New York for a term to expire on December 31st, 2018. Congratulations, Ms. Underwood.
By a vote of 190-0 at the joint session of the legislature, Barbara Underwood became the first woman in New York's history to hold the post of Attorney General. Underwood graduated Harvard University and Georgetown University Law School, first in her class, and was the first woman to hold the title of Solicitor General of the United States when she served as acting Solicitor General under President Obama. She received a standing ovation and was praised by legislative leaders, including Democratic Senate Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins.
She's broken glass ceilings before, and under these very difficult circumstances, I'm certainly happy that she will be breaking yet another glass ceiling.
12 candidates interviewed for the appointment, and Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says they were all qualified. But he says in the end, his Democratic members agreed with Republicans in the state Senate that Underwood, the former state Solicitor General and acting Attorney General, would be best to fill out the remainder of the term.
We just thought for the stability of the office and the time frame and Ms. Underwood's resume, that it was a consensus amongst the members to formally elect Ms. Underwood to let her fill out the rest of the Attorney General term.
Underwood has pledged not to seek election to the office and is viewed as a capable interim placeholder. She's already committed to carrying out hundreds of legal actions begun by her predecessor, including ones against President Trump and his administration.
I think the most important thing I can do right now is to keep going. The work that this office is doing is important. There are a great many investigations and cases in the office, and I think, you know, it's also helpful after a moment of distress to dig into the work and just keep going. And that's the way I have felt from the moment I knew that I would be acting attorney general, and we've been doing that.
Eric Schneiderman resigned as Attorney General May 8th after an article in the New Yorker magazine cited several women who said Schneiderman repeatedly physically assaulted them while they were dating. Schneiderman denies the allegations, saying he was engaged in consensual role-playing. The two major party political conventions begin Wednesday, and the leading Democratic and Republican candidates for attorney general did not apply for the legislative appointment. Even though the state's constitution requires that the legislature choose an attorney general or state controller whenever the posts are vacant, some potential political candidates feared it would look too much like an inside deal if they sought an appointment to the post before running in November. On the assembly floor, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie defended the process.
There was no deal. There was no agreement. This was an open process. Anyone who wanted to apply was free to do that.
The candidates for attorney general include, on the Democrat side, two women, New York City public advocate Tish James and former Cuomo counsel Leisha Eve. Both are African American. Governor Cuomo is endorsing James for the office. He appointed Underwood as solicitor general back in 2007 when Cuomo was himself the state's attorney general. There are also several Republicans who want to run for the office. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, let's start with the Democratic Convention out on Long Island, where Governor Andrew Cuomo secured 95% of the weighted vote yesterday, easily winning the preferred candidate status of the committee. His Democratic primary opponent, Cynthia Nixon, a public education advocate, actress, will have to gather petition signatures to secure a spot on the ballot this September. Not only that, Hillary Clinton came in and endorsed Governor Cuomo on the second day, last day of the convention, supported by none other than former Vice President Joe Biden.
On its face, it certainly doesn't appear that Andrew Cuomo can lose the governorship. And yet, there is a certain amount of dark music going on. His so-called third brother, Joe Prococo, investigated and found guilty on three major felony counts of grafting, basically. One of the other Cuomoites, a man named Todd Howe, turned state's evidence. There are other trials going on, including those surrounding the Buffalo Billions. Cuomo, of course, is representative of the party, and he is what we could call a middle-of-the-roader compared to Nixon's freewheeling style. But Nixon makes a very persuasive case. You wouldn't know it from the results of the Democratic Party endorsement. Now she's going to have to go out and do what we call the signature route. She's going to have to go around to all of the various congressional districts and get the requisite numbers of signatures. And I'm willing to bet you anything that the Cuomo forces will try to keep her off the ballot. In the meantime, she's on that working families line, and there are indications that they would love to get her off of that, too. So what we have now is the outsider coming in. But like Lochinvar coming out of the West, she is doing much better. The question is, before they cross the finish line, will she have made up the distance she needs to overtake him in the polls and everything else? We do know that in the past, that people who were way behind in the polling somehow win. So that happened, and there will be a residue of the Bernie, other progressive campaigns that have come on fast. Right now, it's Cuomo's to lose, but Hillary Clinton endorsement could, in fact, help. But in some ways, it could be the kiss of death also, because there are a lot of people who think that she plays it too close to the powerful in this country.
Let's go to the Republican side. Their convention also going on in Manhattan, Alan. And New York Republicans nominated Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro for governor. A side story that was going on yesterday is that the president, Trump, was on Long Island to talk about MS-13 gang violence and, of course, did not stop by the convention.
Right. Well, of course, this convention, the last thing they need in New York State is Donald Trump coming anywhere near them. And Mark Molinaro, of course, who's a very good man, has to play it very cozy, because if he endorses anything that Trump does, he looks like one of them. If he doesn't, there'll be Republicans who are going to resent it. So he's playing sort of walking that tightrope, trying to be a Republican in an anti-Republican, anti-Trump year. And he is not a Trump Republican. Nevertheless, this is not an easy year to run in. But in a general campaign, anything can happen.
The story by our Karen DeWitt about the acting attorney general, Barbara Underwood, who the legislature picked this week to serve basically as a placeholder. She said she doesn't want to run. A lot of people have argued she's eminently qualified. And from the convention this week, also the Democrats picking New York City public advocate Letitia James.
All I got to say is that when you take the official party designation after the Eric Schneiderman debacle to be attorney general, good luck, Charlie. There will be those who are going to argue that what is needed here is an outsider. So instead of getting picked by the convention, the good old boys and some girls, what happens here is that it's the kiss of death in many ways. If an outsider comes riding in here, and I can think of one who would win in a flash, and that's Preet Bharara, goodbye designation. Of course, if you have somebody who is both a female and African-American, to run. It looks good to the party, and it looks like they are going to be very supportive of her candidacy. However, the downside on that one is if Ms. James turns out to be an insider who is supported by the insiders, like Boss Hastie, Carl Hastie of the New York State Assembly, she's his candidate, that might be the fox guarding the hen house, and people will perceive that. The real question is, will Barrera run? Will he go the petition route? Will he go around the state and collect the petitions he needs? Because if he does, he's going to win.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York and Vermont are among 22 states participating in a border-to-border law enforcement campaign aimed at getting more people to wear their seatbelts. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains.
As summer approaches, law enforcement has initiated its annual Click It or Ticket campaign to encourage use of seatbelts and child safety seats. Officers representing New York and Vermont police agencies met Monday at the state border marker at the center of the Southern Bridge over Lake Champlain to illustrate their multi-state enforcement of the campaign. Vermont Department of Public Safety Deputy Commissioner Chris Herrick says the Click It or Ticket campaign isn't about issuing traffic violations, but rather saving lives.
In Vermont last year, more than half of our fatal crash victims were people who had seatbelts available, but for whatever reason, chose not to use them. High visibility seatbelt enforcement is important 24 hours a day. Regardless of which side of the lake you're on, here in the North Country, our law enforcement resources are too scarce for any one law enforcement agency to have a meaningful impact on driver behavior all by themselves. That's why our police, state, local, and county, are teaming up to deploy their resources with a cohesive strategy.
New York has had a mandatory seatbelt law for more than 30 years. It is a primary offense, which means officers can stop a driver if they are not wearing a seatbelt. New York State Police Troop B Commander Major John Tibbetts called the Buckle Up New York campaign a highly successful effort, with more than 90% of the state's motorists buckling up and using child safety seats. But he added that despite record use, too many needless deaths and injuries occur.
Throughout the summer, troopers will emphasize enforcement in low compliance counties. We will be focusing efforts on nighttime enforcement and where seatbelt use at night is known to be lower than during the day. Not just in New York State, but nationwide.
Vermont Secretary of Transportation Joe Flynn said technological improvements in highway and vehicle design have significantly improved safety, but seatbelts remain the most effective safety measure.
With all the engineering and technological advancements that have been made, the simple act of wearing your seatbelt is the easiest and most effective thing you can do to increase your chances of surviving a crash. The seatbelt is your last line of defense if you are involved in a crash.
In Vermont, not wearing a safety belt is a secondary offense, meaning patrol officers cannot pull you over unless there is a primary violation. Orange County Captain Kyle Kapitansky says he often sees drivers not using seatbelts, but he can't stop them.
Everybody in Vermont knows that it's a secondary violation, so they know that if their equipment is up to standard, if their registrations are good, their inspections are good, and they're not speeding, they can wave at us without their seatbelts on, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Kapitansky says he would like state legislators to make it a primary offense.
The injury accidents that I've seen are much more severe when people are not wearing their seatbelts. There's some sort of stigma in Vermont. Maybe it's just Orange County, but I hear all the time people say, well, if I had had my seatbelt on when I was in that crash, the seatbelt would have killed me. And that's just absolutely not true. Every crash that I've seen, either injury or fatality accident, has been so much more compounded without a seatbelt on.
The National Traffic Safety Administration estimates seatbelts saved more than 14,000 lives in 2017 nationally and could have saved another 2,400 people if they had been wearing them.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
Democratic New York State Assemblyman James Skoufis of the 99th District kicked off his campaign for state senate this week in Orange County. State officials and a Hudson Valley congressman were on hand to lend their support. Skoufis is running to replace Republican Bill Larkin, who announced earlier this month he would retire. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
Democratic State Assemblyman James Skoufis had considered a run for Larkin's 39th district seat in 2016, but decided it was not the right time. The day Larkin announced his retirement, Skoufis issued a statement offering his respect for Larkin's lifetime of service. Skoufis said he would be discussing his options with family, supporters, and key stakeholders before making a decision about this year's election. He's since created a campaign committee. Skoufis's 99th Assembly District includes portions of Orange and Rockland counties. The Woodbury resident serving his third term focuses on such issues as access to health care facilities, college affordability, and transparency in the election process. The state budget includes a measure he championed to expand the definition of political communications to include paid internet and digital advertisements, and requires that all independent expenditures disclose the name of the group paying for social media advertisements. He alleged in 2017 he had been the subject of attack ads on social media and in robocalls. Larkin, who served in the legislature nearly 40 years, spoke about the timing of his announcement May 3rd.
This is the month that they nominate for the next election. I felt the public had an honest answer. What was I going to do? And my mind is good. My legs, they're not. My body's a little, at 90, is a little old.
The 39th Senate District includes portions of Orange, Rockland, and Ulster counties. On the Republican side, Stony Point Councilman Tom Basile was waiting in the wings, building a campaign should Senator Larkin choose to retire. Now, Basile's campaign is in full gear, and he has the backing of the Orange County Republican Committee, as well as the state Conservative Party. However, a primary is in the offing. Republican Orange County legislator Mike Anagnostakis announced he would run, foregoing the Orange County Republican nominating convention and concentrating on the primary. Larkin, who served in World War II and Korea and retired from the U.S. Army as a lieutenant colonel, speaks to how he believes the next senator from the district can be successful.
Well, I don't think the success of my replacement will be how he addresses the issues that affect the quality of life for his constituents. I think it's very, very important, and I believe that in my heart and soul. There's no I in team. Duty, honor, country, respect. If you have all those qualities, you have a great country.
There is another Democratic announcement Monday concerning the state Senate. Former Westchester County legislator Pete Harcum was kicking off his campaign in Mount Kisco for the 40th district seat, held by Republican Terrence Murphy. Another Democrat, Robert Keston, announced his bid in 2017. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Voters in New York approved nearly 98% of school district budgets last week. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports.
All New York State public school budgets were up for a vote May 15th. New York State School Boards Association Executive Director Tim Creamer says while most of them passed, Fort Edward is a notable exception.
They had a special circumstance there, which is oftentimes what is the cause of a defeat. There is something locally that has happened that's causing controversy, consternation. In that instance, there's a GE plant, I think it was a water filtration plant, that sought a reassessment of the property value of the plant and won it, dramatically reducing the property value. And that burden, the property tax burden, was shifted from the GE plant to the residents.
Downstate, New Rochelle and Brewster school budgets also went down to defeat, along with some districts in western New York. Residents get a second opportunity to vote on June 19. If proposals get rejected again, districts must adopt contingency budgets that do not raise taxes beyond last year's levy. The Greater Johnstown School District's budget was approved by voters 461 to 439, but did not pass. Creamer explains.
What they were seeking is an override of their property tax cap, meaning they needed a supermajority of 60% of the voters to say yes. This has happened with some frequency over the last few years since the cap came into play.
Statewide, schools proposed an average tax levy increase of 2.14%. In addition to passing budgets, voters across the state filled nearly 1,536 vacancies on local school boards. New York United Teachers President Andy Pallotta.
One great part of this was they came out and they voted and they supported educators. They supported NYSET members who ran for school board seats, and they won, and they won by wide margin. We have about 30 new NYSET members that are now sitting on school boards, and what's great about that is they make decisions based on education. They make it based on their experience as educators, as teachers, as someone who cares about the entire school system and wants to teach the whole child.
Creamer notes that 6 out of 10 of the elections for school board seats were uncontested.
In a district, let's say a typical district, you had 3 people running for 3 seats. That was common, and nobody was running against anybody. We did have over 50% of the people who were running for those available seats, about 1,500 seats, were incumbents seeking re-election. The rest, of course, were people who would be new to their school board seats.
Creamer attributes the shortage of candidates to the difficulties of office.
I think what people see is this is not an easy place to be. You know, you're kind of the shock absorber for a lot of things that happen locally. I always tell audiences, I said, remember, you have my money and my kids, and I know where you live. And you're accessible to the people who are your electorate immediately. You go to the store, you walk down the street, you go anywhere in town, you're a school board member, and people know that. And they may have something they want to say to you. We don't get a lot of pats on the back, by the way. It's usually someone has something to gripe about, and you're right there. So you do take a lot of the heat.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1821, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.